February the 6th, 1980, Long Beach, California. You come to Long Beach?
Well, I came in December 1921, but my husband accepted a school, a private school here in Long Beach, and he came in June of that year. He's an educator, and he had a Japanese school at 1740 Molino Avenue, that's on the south slope of the hill. And he had about 115 children and five school teachers. To teach the Japanese children the language, some of their culture. And I clearly remember when he came, the Board of Education gave us reception dinner. And that was held at the old schoolhouse that now stands to the corner from the Alpharetta Market, Santa Fe and Zillow. And Mrs. Abbott was the principal. And at that dinner, we had kerosene lamps on the table for light. It just seems so hard to understand for people today that Long Beach was once such a small city that we didn't have electricity for the public schools. And then eventually as the oil companies moved in and they started to drill for oil, they were just, hysterical. They disregarded the agricultural contracts that the Japanese farmers had on Signal Hill. And they just tramped all over trying to put their equipment down, start digging on the well. And I think they must have told the landowners, that's all right if you do have a contract, we'll fix it up with them. But these poor people, that was their livelihood. And the hill was just beautiful. On one side, on the south side, west side, it's all flowers. Just patches of pink and white, purple and blue. It looks like a patchwork quilt. On the other side is vegetables. And these poor farmers didn't know what was going on because they would get up and see all these men directing their workers to put that tent here and put those bulldozers over there and dig it up. And they were just going crazy. So they rushed to the schoolhouse to ask my husband, what can be done? And most of them had children, but they were too small to interpret for them. So they asked our help. And so we said, well, we'll have to get together and see who the oil company is and who's doing the digging, have to contact the owner, and we'll see what can be done. But they said, it's too late now. We can't save our crops. They're all trampled down. And we paid so much for labor, so much for the food and the water. And it's a great loss. We depended on the harvest for his income. So he said, we think we should get a lawyer, but it's so expensive to hire a lawyer. So we said, we'll see what we can do. And we took all the information down, how much they thought they would lose, how much they thought they increased from the harvest at harvest time. And I took all of this information to the oil company. And I figured that by stepping out of court would be much better than to go to court. Because you can't fight a big oil company, and it takes so long. And that's how we were able to settle a lot of claims. And they weren't too happy because the oil companies tried to get it down to the most minimum. But at least we made a settlement, and they moved elsewhere.
Was it just one oil company?
Oh, no, we had General Petroleum and Shell, and there were several that are out of business now, but there were four or five, and the people were very cooperative. They knew what they had done, and they were eager to make a settlement. But, of course, like all financial settlements, a lot of discussion disputes that managed. And one family had a very sick mother, she couldn't stand the noise up there. So she moved in with us. So with my little children and family, I really had my hands full. But that's one of the things that we had to put up with. And another thing, some of the place farms that weren't taken over, they suffered from the gushing. They had no way of controlling the oil log, like Pastor did later on. So when they drive the oil thing, they just get out, you know, and it covered all the white canvas coverings for the cucumber beds. Long Beach at that time preserved its cucumbers in April, March and April. And they all looked forward to that marketing time that just came along and spoiled that. And Long Beach said they wouldn't accept washing those oil extras. They just couldn't do it. So we had to put all of that down and claim damages for that too. They're quite costly. So that was one of the big things. Then later on, we had the hoof and mouth disease to put up with. That's the hog ranch. They were way down on the south side, the north side of Snow Hill. They had, there were five partners at each part of this hog ranch. And so my husband had, I had to go down to the city hall and bid for the garbage. That time I just remember $1.10 a ton. And that was a pretty good price. I had to go and collect it, you know, around the city, especially the hotels and the cafeteria restaurants. And everything was going good with it. In Creole Valley. And they bought a lot of little piglets. They were raising those. And they would tell us they were so happy that pork is up to 10 cents a pound out of foot now. So we were happy for them. And we said, well, now you have a contract. And then pretty soon another order came up that you have to install the platform on a fairback scale. You have to weigh your truck and the garbage, and then subtract the weight of the truck from the whole total. That was necessary because it meant sanitation. And then you had to have a pit to cover the garbage that wasn't used right away. So you had to comply with all those rules. And then slip them out if you spoke out. So the whole farm was quarantined. They would post papers on the outside of the fence telling us how much milk they had to have and had the whole list of groceries for us to buy. So my husband had to go buy that, put it by the fence, and call to them. And they'd come and pick it up. And that was one of the other difficulties we had with people here. So, anyway, Long Beach is a very nice place to live because it's a nice climate here and things go very well. And we had a very nice group of people at church to work with also.
Okay, before you go on to that, Signal Hill had Hogs Run North.
Hog Ranch.
Is on the north.
Yes. And we had on the side, we had vegetable farms, cucumbers, all the early vegetables that took quite a long time to raise. And then on this side, west side, that part of the south side, flower farms.
Okay, now I'm curious about the school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you It was a private school.
We always had a private school to teach the children the Japanese language. And but I don't know how the Board of Education knew. I think the former teacher who had the school was also had contacts with the Board of Education. And therefore, when he left, he told about the new teacher coming with his son. It was his wife. In fact, I was married a year before, but I came to Long Beach. And so when he arrived, we got an invitation in the mail that you're the guest of honor at a dinner. And he was so surprised.
Were most of the people who farmed and had ranch hogs, or whatever you call it, on Signal Hill, were they Japanese people?
Yes, they were all Japanese people.
Did they own their land, or did they rent their land?
Oh, no, they leased. They just leased from the owners.
And was it owned by small people that owned a few acres, or was it owned by, like, the big people that owned the whole?
I know that the small individual owners. I didn't hear the big street until a few months later. They had the area way out there where the State College now is. And Mr. Fred Bixby was alive and very active at that time. And he had all 6 or 8 families living out there. And they brought their children themselves in the car. The other children, my husband had to make about 3 trips to pick them up. First go down towards Pine Avenue, and they had a couple of families on Pine Avenue that parents had art gift stores on the Pike at that time. And then there were grocery stores and little vegetable shops inside of the large American grocery stores. They had just a vegetable department. So they had about 6 or 7 children picked up there. I guess about 10. And then the other trip he would make over to his wife at the Memphis Water Company. And another trip out of they called it not Lomita. They had another name for it. They don't call it that now. And then the other trip is Paris Road. It's the Santa Fe now. But they had a lot of fun there.
And so you knew the people who lived on the Dixie Ranch?
Oh, yes.
And just out of kind of curiosity, did any of them come back after the war, or?
Yes. Just one family moved to Japan. But children, as they grew up, they said that we're American citizens born here in the United States. And they just couldn't resist the Japanese way. And the parents told us too that they thought they would like to live there. But they said everybody's talking about other things and they weren't interested in the subjects that he was interested in. So he said, there was just such a gap. And he said, I just knew I would be happy. So he came back later. But most of the family stayed on. And the parents are all gone, but the children are still here.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Mrs. Bixby was very helpful, too. She used to take the young girls, I think they were mostly in the age range of, I'd say, early teens at that time. And she would gather the girls together at her house, teach them how to cook and how to can. And the mother's tongue that she was so helpful because that we don't know how to do those things ourselves. And children learn from Mrs. Bixby. They come home and tell us, and they were so grateful for that knowledge of knowing how to preserve fruit and canning vegetables and cooking and serving American style. They learned a lot of things from us.
Yeah, well, where did the Japanese people that lived around that area come from? Did they come from Japan, or did they come from...
Yes. They came from Japan, they were what you'd call gentlemen farmers, I guess. They stopped farming because it was the only job they knew, work that they knew what to do. They couldn't get jobs in offices or in schools like they had in Japan.
But they hadn't been farmers in Japan?
No, they hadn't been farmers. I don't know how it's... Maybe you have a natural instinct for but this soil out of the Bixby Ranch is very rich. It is almost black, and they used to be Sully. And later on, the Sully family, they got a contract from Canada where they could, the ladies used to sell these bands, I think about 4 sixths of newspaper, make a band about so big on a machine setup, and they would grab the tops of the cellar and pull this band over, and it would cover about that much cellar stuff, because the white cellar was so fashionable. Nobody wanted green cellar. And so they got a good price for it. And it was taken, and it was $1.65 a crate, and the shippers used to come to the ranch to pick it up. So it was just that it's very good. Save them time, and ever taken it to some shipping place. And that was great soil for selling. It was pretty so well.
Okay. What happened to these people as oil was discovered and they couldn't farm on the land anymore?
Well, some of them moved out to Torrance, and a lot of them went to Westminster. That's how the group started out in Westminster in Santa Ana.
And was Signal Hill the area in Long Beach that had the biggest concentration of Japanese people? Is that why the school was there?
Yes, that's right. And it's centralized. You had people from big events, you had people from this side, this side.
And how did things change as oil was discovered?
Well, of course, you didn't receive any benefits. There was just one family, the Schneider family, owned property on Signal Hill.
One of them did.
He was able to buy his property, I think it was on Cherry, somewhere on it. It was on the slope. I remember going there. It was on the flat part, down below Cherry. And I think he got 2 miles out of the property. And oh my, I think it kind of went to his head because he bought a Cadillac and moved out to a house on Nebraska, and he said, you know, we have running hot water and we have this and that, and he's so happy. And then he started to send his children to college when he became college age. So he was about the only one who benefited from the oil.
What about the school? Did the fact that oil was discovered force people off the land to the point that the school couldn't operate there any longer?
Well, we had the school for a while, but then I think the oil fields, some of them had to shut down. There was enough pressure or something that they didn't feel practical. It was practical to operate it. And so it moved further one way or the other, I can't remember. But it did leave a nice vacant spot for us on the north side. I think it was an extension of Obispo. And then we built another school there. Excuse me, California.
You leased two-thirds of an acre
from Mr. and Mrs. Taylor. And their daughter, Mrs. Webb, lives next door to us. That's the first house on Molino, next to the 101 highway. So we were close to the corner. And I know that the children had a lot of fun there. They had a big yard to run around in. But I had a big yard to clean up after they left. I was a janitor, everything. And some of the parents used to send their younger brothers and sisters along with their older children so that they could work. And of course, the responsibility fell on me. It's a good thing I had extra blankets and diapers and everything to supply at that time. But it was a happy group of children. And the first thing they did was to give the Pledge of Allegiance. I have to emphasize that this is America. Although you're going to learn some of the culture of your parents, We want you to know that you're an American citizen born in the United States, and thought to it that the American flag was always present in the school, even in the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was also teaching American history along with the Japanese culture, like, you could say, well, in such a year in Japan, we had a certain man in charge of foreign affairs, and sort of combine or give them a picture of the history of both countries at the same time. And I don't know how much children remember it, but every once in a while I come across some of our pupils, and they all said that the early training they had was a big help to them. One of them is the Mr. Shiba, lives in West Los Angeles, and he and his wife own the Westgate Flower Shop. And another one has a cleaning shop, and another girl has a nursery on Corinth Avenue in West LA. And so from time to time I hear from these pupils. I don't hear from the Bisbee children. I think they must have moved to distant towns like up in Northern California, except for this one girl in Los Angeles. And but I do hear from the West LA people once in a while and see them because my daughter lives over there.
Okay, so this was the school on Molino.
I was at Molino.
Yes, but you said pretty soon it was sold. That was the
He wanted to buy the place, but Mrs. Taylor had ideas that oil would be discovered there, and she gave us such a tremendous figure. It was out of our means, of course. So many $100,000 she wanted for this piece of... I said, we're just school teachers and very poor. We can't afford such a... But she said, you know, there's possibility of oil. But I tried to convince her that the paper, Longreach paper, says they will not allow drilling on the south side of 101 Highway. But she couldn't believe that. So then finally when it was sold, then we moved to the north side of Signal Hill. And then we bought property there and built just a schoolhouse instead of a clubhouse where we could hold meetings. And we were there until the war broke out. And we left it in charge of some people. I don't know who the caretakers were. But the man who was the principal and the school staff sold it while we were still in camp. Of course, she knew that we were in camp. And they sold it. And that was, then the money was transferred to another organization called the JACL, Japanese American Citizens League. And it was to help them get started after we came back. So there was no more Japanese school after that.
Then there was enough agriculture and enough other kinds of jobs for Japanese people around Signal Hill, clear up until the war, that you maintained the school in that location?
No. After the oil was discovered, all the farmers moved away. I don't know where they relocated, but I think most of them went to, like I said, divided up, half went to Westminster and half went to Torrance, obviously. I just couldn't keep track of all of them.
But then where did these children come from who went to the school?
They came from the surrounding areas, I guess. I really don't know where the children came from after that.
But you just maintained it because it was a central location?
Uh-huh. It was in 2029. We had an offer to buy a friend's grocery store. At that time it was a supermarket, but it's nothing compared to what the supermarket. It was on the corner of 1st and Alameda downtown. So we took the friends of grocery stores out to send them. And we didn't have any money, but I borrowed some money from my father and gave it to them. And they were getting quite elderly, so they went back to Japan. And then we had the store there, so we had to give up the store to another teacher, Mr. Yamaguchi. And after Yamaguchi, Mr. Yamaguchi took it over, then they moved to Signal Hill. After that, I don't know who the children were. It was entirely a different group of children. Our children were all teenagers by then.
Did the school just give the whole curriculum like through high school, or did it just concentrate on
Linda? Just on the language. On the language, the customs, and the art and music. So I have a music teacher and an art teacher and everything. I don't know how good of a job he did, but he taught them. And his other helpers, three men came from Los Angeles, young men. I think they were students in Japan, and they came to this country to study. They were going to USC and other colleges. But Saturdays, they had no school, and this extra money helped them. So we asked them to come down and help. They came on the streetcar. We had the red streetcar in those days. So they would come on the red streetcar, get off at 101, walk up the hill to the school. And then we had one local teacher, Mrs. Sojima. So we had five instructors altogether.
So the school only operated on Saturdays?
Just Saturdays. That's the only time we had time for them.
And during the rest of the time, the children went to regular school?
Yeah, that's
regular
school, yes.
And, but in the beginning, the school provided your livelihood, or did you farm also?
No. We had the school, and then we had what we called the Japanese Association. We took care of all of our welfare cases, different kinds of emergencies. People who had to go to the hospital or needed a doctor, they would call us. And they had small children, so they could help the parents translate. And as I recall, we had several telephone calls where there were emergency cases like appendectomy. And I would take the doctor. We had a Dr. Montgomery who lives on Obispo. I think his son still has the office, I'm not sure. But this old Dr. Montgomery used to bring his Ford car to the 1748 Molino. I would hop in, and then we'd go to these different places, and sometimes he'd bring a nurse for the childbirth. And he would heat up the instruments in a kettle on the butane stove, you know. And sometimes at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd get a call, please bring the doctor, I was going to have a baby. And I remember one time it was raining, cats and dogs, and this man lived up here on San Antonio Drive. You wouldn't believe San Antonio Drive the way it is now, but it was called the Daikon Ranch, which means the radish ranch, the sugar beet ranch. And he said, I'll be out on San Antonio waving a lantern so you'll know where to come. So the doctor, or it's Dr. Hill this time, Walter B. Hill, and he was such a fine doctor, so accommodating. I think compassionate man, too, because nobody would want to go out 2 o'clock in the morning for any kind of thing. The open car and brought his nurse, and he picked me up, and then we go up to San Antonio. Sure enough, he was waiting. So we drove in. The car got stuck half the way. We had to jump out and walk to the house, and the windows were broken. The house was cold, and then we had to heat up the water for cleaning and everything. And then we had the baby was born healthy, mother was taken care of, and she got along fine. But I can't leave the doctor on 2 or 3 cases like that, and cases where children were sick, and I had to go and interpret for the doctor. So we did all kinds of errands like that. That's what the Japanese Association was for. And my husband's salary was $150 a month. That was supposed to be good with the hiring that we received. So And then the school also was included in that 150 because they worked together.
And was that the whole name of it, Japanese Association?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes those things have fancier names than that.
Yes. But it's sad because when the war broke out, they misinterpreted. The Japanese Association had some very close tie with the Japanese government, which we did not have. It was just to take care of our people's needs in the community. It was a necessity. And of course now the members are either gone or they're too old, inactive, and the ACL sort of takes its place now.
What happened to the Japanese Association and your activities with it when you moved to First and Alameda? When you started running the grocery store, did that interfere with your activities?
No, we gave it up, we gave it up to Mr. Yamaguchi, who took over, and my husband and I took over the grocery store.
Did you move to downtown, or did you?
No, we took a little house around 20th, because we had bought a property there. And we felt someday, when the proper land was paid for and clear, we could get a loan company or a bank to finance a house for it. So we wanted to be close by. And it was just around the corner from Locust and 20th. The little house is still there.
So you, then did you concentrate on running the market?
Yes. My brother and I were partners. My father had the down payment, and he took over the store, and that was in 1929. I remember calling my father to reassure him that his money was safe. I told him that we were doing very well. Our sales were getting a little bit better every day, but that only lasted 1 week. The Wall Street crash came in 1929. So disappointing. Things went from bad to worse. Then in 1930, one of my little boys was killed in an automobile accident down here on Pine and 101 Highway. And then my husband got ill. And in 1933, we had a terrible earthquake when our store was demolished. Everything boy. So then he was sick, bedridden ever since 1933. So,
where was he educated? Was he educated in Japan or in the United States?
Yes, he was educated in Japan. And then he went to England. And there he learned what you call the English, British English. And then he learned his music there. I think he was one of the very few teachers who had regular teaching credentials from Japan. And the other teachers who took over schools and teaching jobs were just regular high school or maybe college graduates. Took it on as a side job. But I had to go full time. And he enjoyed the children. He wrote songs for the children. And there are many more things in Japan. He said they have classes, different classes. One is a morals class, teaching children the basics of good morals. And that's what he wanted to concentrate on, and to help the children. So he was quite a dedicated teacher, I think.
And where were you educated?
I was born in Japan. I came to this country when I was 3 years old. And then I couldn't speak English for several years because I had no one except my parents to speak with. And the children used to come in front of our house and beg me to come out. And they would ask me different things. I'd either shake my head or try to talk with my hands. And they would keep laughing and laughing. And then I would call some mother, I'd say, "Okachan, come quite artful question. He thought that was so funny. He thought that was my name, so they call me Okocha. But I remember I stayed the first grade 2 years. But my teachers were very helpful. And I got to receive my education, early education, Pasadena. I went to the City College and extension courses at USC.
So you went to elementary school in Pasadena. Yes. You made kind of a jump from being 3 years old to Pasadena City College.
I know. Well, that's the grammar school, elementary school, of course. Like Ulysses S. Grant School. It's on the corner of Chester and Division. I went about a year ago. Look for it. It's not there anymore. They've torn it down. But I went to my youngest brother is still living in our family home at 84 Hudson Center. It's about a half a block from the Pasadena City College. And his daughter is taking ballet lessons, and she gave a performance at the City College Auditorium. I went to see her, and I stood there and I thought to myself, oh, this is a school I used to come to, I can't remember, 58 years ago. I'm 78 now, and I thought, my goodness, she hasn't changed much. I went up the stairs, and I used to have an arm full of books. They had ink bottles and pointed pens, you know, and I had all the things in the hand, dumpster. But now they had the hand on the wall, one step at a time. That's the difference.
What did your family do in Pasadena?
Well, my father was in partnership with Mr. Victor Marsh. I don't know if you've heard of the Marsh Japanese Garden up in San Francisco. That's Mr. Marsh's brother. And Mr. Marsh had one of the most exotic, beautiful Oriental orchid stores. And so my father was living there, and he did all the buying. He'd go to Japan about every other year. And that was when my mother and I came over too. My father sent for us and said, Mr. Marsh is in Japan now, and he will take care of you and bring you over. So don't worry. So my mother and my uncle, who was 16, I was three, the three of us came with Mr. Marsh on this English boat called the anyway, later on, this boat sank in the Caribbean. I thought then, well, it's about time it was, I need to dry down. I'll come to me later. But anyhow, my father also worked for him, and then Mr. Marsh quit his business. And then there's another man, Mr. Gerlach. He also had an orchid store. He wanted my father to come. Because some of the things they bought, like a nest of tables, they were very low because Japanese people sit on the floor and had cushions. And they would buy this nest of tables. And then my father did a lot of fancy carving and all. And he'd make these beautiful, graceful Queen Anne legs for them and make lamp tables out of them. And then these Japanese vases, very amazing, hand-painted, they would buy those. And then my father would drill a hole in the bottom, wire it up for a lamp. And then he had people who made the special shapes to match the lamp. And they did a lot of business like that. They couldn't buy them anywhere else. And after that, Mr. Henry E. Huntington, probably heard of him.
Yeah.
He's selling all of the yellow cars in Los Angeles. He has a beautiful estate out in San Marino. And he commissioned my father to build him a Japanese garden.
Oh.
And so that was one of my father's, well, was the landscape and build. So he took the contract, and he built the bridge, the drum bridge. Had a single nail. It's all wooden pegs. And the more weight it holds, the more secure it is. And the bell house, and the wishing well, and a tea house. He had the whole contract. I can't remember exactly how long it took, but it has the special tiles on the roof. My husband, father had to go to Japan to hire three tile setters. A certain kind of tile that sort of clamps together like. And they bought the tiles, and they also bought the temple bell, huge bell. And he could prove that it was over 100 years old. Don't pay export duty or import duty on things that are 100 years old. So he bought that, and then he built this beautiful garden. It still stands. It was this nice river. I was there not too long ago. And then he landscaped it all and did a beautiful job. And I remember my mother and I went to see it after it was finished. So that was one of the biggest jobs that he had. And he also built a court called the St. Francis Court, which is on Oakland Avenue, I believe, right off of Colorado Street is the main street in Pasadena. At that time, it had a beautiful hotel called the Maryland Hotel. It made you think of those southern, beautiful southern hotels. And it's right near that. He built that court at the Huntington Garden. And then he also, while he was working for Mr. Mars, he was asked to build him a treasure yacht. At that time, Mr. Marsh was in his prime. He was doing very well with his good store, and he had one daughter named Ollie, and an adopted daughter named Bertha. So my father built this boat in Mr. Marsh's shop right there on Raymond Avenue, right next to the Green Hotel. And the railroad ran right in back. So he built his boat in half, and they shipped it down to Santiago, and then put together, and they had the christening, and it was christened Ollie Beck for Ollie and Bertha. And that was a big event in my father's life. And unlike the other Japanese people, he had this unusual job that helped him a lot. And there were 8 of us children, I'm the oldest. But we were very happy, and my mother didn't have to go out and work. She had enough to do at home. We were very children. But we were very fortunate that we owned our own place. And that happy family. So 60-foot cottage and goes back 229 feet. So we had rabbits and chickens, pigeons and ducks. And then we had enough vegetables to supply our table. And we did very well.
Your father must have been the only boat builder in Pasadena.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Yes. We have what we call the History Project. It's to keep the history records in their archives, their library. And I just felt that it should have a mention of my father and the Huntington Garden. So I wrote an article and I sent it in to them. And what pictures I had. But during the war, we moved around so much, we carried just so much baggage. I couldn't take all of the pictures and off. But I did manage to keep a couple of them. I had one of the bell house and one of the bridge. So I had that I could send in. It thrills me when people say, oh, I went to Huntington Gardens and I went to the Japanese tea house and I rang that bell. I thought, well, that's what my father built, and he used to tell us. He just pull that speed lock back and release it, and you'll hit that bell. You can hear it for a quarter mile, the radius of sound.
Yeah, that's one of the pleasures of doing research at the Huntington Library, is to be able to go out and walk there after lunch.
Yeah, really.
I mean, there are just not that many nice places around. And that's really a beautiful place.
Yes, isn't it? Yes. And so there's all the things, I guess, that are built right and kept up, you know, repaired once in a while and taken care of them for a long time. So at that time, I remember my father